Joining us now to say time a hotline, Golf Channel analyst Brandel Chamblee. Brandel, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Brandel. I appreciate you shoehorning me in on a very busy day, very busy week. My first question, gigantic softball, tossing it right at you. What was your reaction when we got the news last hour that 17 golfers were being suspended?
I wasn't surprised. I think everybody knew something along those lines was coming. There was no definite timeline mentioned in that letter. I don't really think that was much of a surprise. I think the only thing that really surprised me was that they were taking steps to keep the players from getting sponsors exemptions. So I think part of the reason players were resigning their PGA Tour membership, it was completely strategic, so that if there were any hurdles in terms of not being a member of the PGA Tour in good standing to get into major championships, they could alleviate that. And also for conduct unbecoming a professional, let's say, clauses of that nature in their contracts with equipment companies, but also because it would allow them to get sponsors exemptions into tour events. But I think that the tour is stop that from happening with this letter. But by and large, I'd say not much was a surprise in that letter.
I hope I'm not a prisoner of the moment. I hope this isn't a knee-jerk reaction, Brandel, but I look forward to your response to this. I'm trying to find a proper adjective to describe today, and I think it's perhaps the most critical day in the history of definitely professional golf, but maybe the game at large. Is that an overreaction? How do you sum up everything that's occurring today, not just the suspensions, but the fact that this LIV Golf thing is now underway?
Yeah, I don't think that's an overreaction. I think this is one of the Saturdays in the history of the game. Look, if we just look at the PGA Tour, you know, what is its foundation? Its foundation is built on philanthropy. It has a great history of looking after their players through health benefits, a pension fund, safety nets. They have tours for the beginning of a player's career, the prime of their career, and the end of their career. If you look at LIV Golf, what's its foundation? It's pure and simple. It is transparently greed and sports washing. They are buying these players, and they will treat these players like a depreciating asset. They are expendable, and they will be tossed aside when they are of no further use. You look at the history of the game. So the highest paid athletes of all time, if you look at that list, it goes Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus. Now, why are golfers three of the top four highest paid athletes of all time when it has only a marginal interest to a marginal, it has a passionate interest, but to a marginal group of people in the world, nowhere near as popular as soccer or cricket or football or basketball? And yet here's Phil Mickelson, who's 11th all time on that list. He's ahead of David Beckham and Kobe Bryant. Norman's 15th. He's ahead of Kevin Durant and Lewis Hamilton. Why are golfers so highly paid, disproportionately paid for the popularity of their sport? It's because of the very nature of the game. It's a self-policing sport that is built on a great tradition of sportsmanship and integrity. And that was tainted today. The reputations of the 48 players that teed off were all tainted today, and by extension, the game was tainted. And if LIV Golf has any semblance of success, it has the potential, the collateral damage has the potential to damage all professional golf, because it calls into question the independent contractor status of golfers. So now they're going to be contracted. They're going to be playing under a contract, right? So that's going to cost exorbitant sums if they're going to keep up with the sports washing efforts of the Saudis, which means it will put a dent in the philanthropic contributions, which means it will affect the pension funds, which means it will possibly affect the tax-exempt status of the PGA Tour, which means it will affect the corporate involvement, which means it will ultimately affect the purses. The only good thing that I can say about what happened today is because we're not in any way, shape, or form watching this event and thinking we're watching the best players in the world. Of that 48 names, if you're a average golf fan, you might represent, by my count, you might recognize, by my count, 14 of the names. 14. So the Sergio Garcia, Taylor Gooch, Matt Jones, McDowell, Mickelson, Nah, Schwartzel, Swofford, Westwood, or Kiemer. There's 14 of the names that I think the average golf fan would recognize. Now, those 14 players, their average world rank is 100. Their average age is 40. They've combined to play in 178 events this year, and they have combined collectively for 12 top 10s. So in no way, shape, or form are we watching the best golfers playing their best golf. They paid $200 million for a 51-year-old fading superstar. This would be like paying $200 million for a 25-year-old Seabiscuit to run in the Kentucky Derby. What we're watching is a failed business model, but that doesn't matter because they don't care about whether it makes money. We're watching sports washing. We're watching golfers complicit in sports washing. Golfers have been complicit in the history and the traditions of the game up until today. Now they're complicit in sports washing. It's one of the saddest days in the history of golf.
We're joined by Brandel Chamblee. You can follow him on Twitter at Chamblee. Brandel, that leads me to my next question, Brandel. I have been absolutely shocked by how ill-prepared these golfers are for the inevitable questions. Phil, for the first time that I can recall, and I've been around Phil a lot, he had nothing to say. Nothing at all to say. He actually was frozen for 10 very uncomfortable seconds. How can you explain that? Is that hubris being exposed? Is it entitlement being exposed? Why are these guys so unprepared for these questions? They had to know what's coming.
Well, because they know they're sitting on a stage and that they're lying. They know that they're selling a lie. And it's hard to lie to people when everybody knows the truth. So they're being paid to lie. They're being paid to sit up there and be deceitful and to be complicit in selling a lie. That's very hard to do when they can't actually tell the truth. So they're all wiggling and squirming and looking for the live representatives to disrupt the media members who are asking, rightly so, poignant questions, which the players should have anticipated, but it makes them no less difficult to answer. In the case of some of them, they're just simply too ignorant to understand what they're doing. Taylor Gooch said as much when he said, "I'm just not that smart." And it may have been the most accurate thing said in the entire history of this LIV Golf operation. But some of them are pretty smart and know well what they're doing. And so they default to inane comments like they're growing the game, Graham McDowell or, you know, Lee Westwood. When they in no way, shape, or form are growing the game. They're just growing their bank accounts, and they know it. They're destroying the game. They're destroying the history and the integrity of the game, and they know it. And so they can't answer these questions because they are lying, and they know it.
Brandel, just a couple more minutes, please. Given my knowledge of the intimate relationship that your employer, the Golf Channel, has with the PGA Tour, I don't see it ever getting in bed in any way, shape, or form with LIV Golf. But do you see a network or perhaps some kind of premier streaming service becoming a partner of this tour?
Well, I don't think, you know, I think greed has been successful in the short term in a great many instances. I think in a great many other instances over the long term, it fails. I can't imagine that given the gross atrocities of Saudi Arabia and the nature of the game of golf that anybody's going to be willing to come forth and broadcast this. But then I'm probably underestimating the greed of you know, somewhere out there, somebody looking at this and defaulting to the money. But, you know, look, I don't think this is going away. They've been trying to do this since 2014. They have, you know, an infinite supply of money almost, you know, and they have a great need to launder their reputations there because the atrocities in Saudi Arabia don't look like they're abating. If anything, they look like they're going to continue indefinitely. You know, you're looking at the most misogynistic, oppressive, murderous regime, and there are metrics that people use to judge those things in the world by some metrics. But certainly, you know, a contender for the top one or two spots in the world in terms of other atrocities. And so their need's not going to go away, and they've got plenty of money, so they'll continue to look for somebody who will broadcast this. They found people to talk about it who would sacrifice their reputation for compensation, sacrifice their morals for money, and they found players to do it. But I think on the one hand that this is, in the same breath that I say this is a really sad day for the game of golf, it's also a laudable day because there were, you know, far more superstars who couldn't be bought. You know, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Burns, Spieth, Smith. That's the top 10 players in the world, by the way, who couldn't be bought. Their average age is 27. So, you know, there's a youth movement in the game of golf, and the game of golf has never been better from a popularity standpoint. It's never been better from a financial standpoint to be a tour player. And when you think about the PGA Tour being able to monetize NFTs and monetize the influence of gambling, which is coming to sports gambling, which is coming to the PGA Tour, it's not inconceivable that 5-10 years from now, the leading PGA Tour player is going to make $50 to $60 to $70 million on a year. And of course that will trickle down through the ranks. For Phil to say that the best players in the world have not been fairly compensated is laughable for its inaccuracy. I mean, it's even more inaccurate than his career with a driver. Again, the top four highest paid athletes of all time, three of them are golfers. And Phil is 11th, and he was never the best golfer. He never won the Varden Trophy. He never led the money list. Never the number one player in the world. And he's 11th all-time, best, highest-paid athlete all-time. He's never even come close to approaching the popularity of a Kobe Bryant or a David Beckham. And yet he's made more money than them in sports that are wildly more popular, more participated in, and have higher ratings. And why is that? Because of the PGA Tour, because of the Golf Channel, because of the integrity and the identity and the reputation of professional golfers, which he could care less about. He just wanted to get paid. And doing it, he destroys the very fabric of the tour from which he's benefited from.
The books that will be written years from now, Brandel. I wish I had one right. I wish I had one in my hand at this moment. We could figure out where this is going. He's Brandel Chamblee. You can follow him on Twitter at Chamblee Brandel. Brandel, again, a very busy day. I know you've got a lot to do. We really appreciate you coming on.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Scott.
All righty. It's Brandel Chamblee of the Golf Channel joining us on the Saitama Hotline.